And now, if you'll turn in your Bibles to the Gospel according to John, chapter 4, I'm going to begin reading at verse 1 and continue through a greater part of this chapter, verse 42. In this current series of messages on the great chapters of the Bible, I believe that John chapter 4 contains some of the greatest truths that were ever revealed in all the life of Jesus and in all the Word of God. John chapter 4, verse 1, after we bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we ask again for the divine leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit as we have our Bibles open before us in these moments of meditation. We pray that the Holy Spirit's power would be upon us, pastor and people alike. And may our hearts be quickened and our minds be illumined that we might receive the truth, that we might give ourselves without reservation to this great and holy task to which we have been called. Help us, we pray, to do the thing that would be pleasing and acceptable in thy sight. And may this message tonight indite a good matter within our hearts to kindle a flame of revival and a flame of concern within our hearts that we might tell others what Jesus has done for us. As we ask these things in his name and for his sake with thanksgiving. Amen. Will you read along with me in John chapter 4, beginning at verse 1? When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come thither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come, see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, One soweth, and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. I don't know of a more beautiful picture in all the lids of the Bible than John chapter 4. I don't know of any greater truths that were put forth from the lips of the Master than we find in John chapter 4. Oftentimes we look for great pronouncements in great and large and earth-shaking circumstances. But it's not always that way. In quietness and in confidence shall be your peace. Sometimes in the smallest surroundings, in the most out-of-the-way places, to the most unbecoming people, God reveals himself in a very real way. Such is the case in John chapter 4. I think there are seven words that not only invite but demand our attention in this great chapter. The first word is the word well in verse 6. To capture the setting, Jesus was now leaving Judea, the southernmost province of the Holy Land in his day. He was going to Galilee, the northernmost province of Palestine in his day. And geographically, between Judea and Samaria was the province known as Galilee. Between Judea and Galilee was the province known as Samaria, the central province of the Holy Land. The people who lived in Samaria were not altogether Jew, and they were not altogether Gentile, but they were half-breeds. To trace the history, we must go back to the year 722 B.C., when the Assyrians under Sargon and Shalmaneser came and marched against the northern kingdom, whose capital was in what was known then as the city of Samaria. It later grew to proportions of a state or province, and carried away the people Israel into captivity over into Assyria. But they left garrisons of soldiers stationed in Samaria to look after the affairs of their conquered prey. Those Assyrians married the Israelites and produced the people that we know as Samaritans. And the Samaritans were despised in the eyes of the Jew. If even the shadow of a Samaritan fell across the Jew on his journey, he would run immediately to the quickest shower and take a shower, or a bath, as the case might be. And we laugh about that, but that's the honest truth. And the Jews would not, because of their racial prejudice, they would not go through the despised province of Samaria. Reminds me of a lot of Baptists in the 20th century. We don't want those folks. They're too poor for us. But Jesus loved them. Jesus broke down every barrier that separated the Jew from the Gentile, because verse 4 says he must needs go through Samaria. He didn't have to go. The Jews went across the Jordan River eastward and northward and back westward across the Jordan River and into the province of Galilee rather than go through Samaria. There are a lot of people tonight who will drive 6 or 8 blocks out of the way just to keep from going through some neighborhoods that they think are below them. Now that's the honest gospel truth. Jesus didn't look at it that way. The first word is well. Verse 6 says, and Jacob's well was there. And that was a very hallowed place. Jacob drank out of that well. His sons and his daughters and his family and his cattle drank out of that well. And they had been drinking out of that well. It had been in business for a long time. This was a well that had been in business since about 1800 B.C. 1800 years. One time at a civic luncheon, the president recognized a man who was present who had been manager of a business that had been in business 100 years. And everybody thought that was really something. And the president turned and looked over the crowd and he said, "Say, is there anyone here who has been connected with a business that's older than 100 years?" Preachers always show up in the oddest places. And a preacher stood up and said, "Yes, sir. I represent a business that's been going on for almost 2,000 years since the days that Jesus walked the dusty streets of Jerusalem. And what a business it is tonight." But Jacob's well was there. And the Samaritans, who considered Jacob and Abraham and Isaac as their fathers just as much as the Jews, and they were halfway right because they were half Jews, they thought something of Jacob's well. And they guarded that spot as though it were hallowed and sacred. The second word is the word woman. Verse 7 says, "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water." Verse number 6 said it was about the sixth hour. That means it was about noon on the Jewish clock. Anything strange about that? Yes. Most of the people went to the well early in the morning and late in the evening. If it had been early morning, that well would have been crowded. They'd have been standing to drop their buckets to get water out of that well, or late in the evening. But it was noontime. Why do you suppose this woman came at noon? Maybe she was embarrassed because of her sinful living. I don't know. Maybe she didn't want to converse with the other women of the city because they had looked down upon her and they'd begun to whisper and said, "You know, that woman's married again. This is 5 times. And I understand she's gotten rid of him and she's living with another man now." So she didn't want to face those gossiping, criticizing, scorning women, and I don't much blame her. There's nothing worse than a self-righteous hypocrite. The ones that talked about her were probably as bad off as she was. Jesus knew how to handle her. He didn't say, "Now, woman, you've been married 5 times, and the old scoundrel you're living with now is not your husband." Jesus said, "Go call your husband." He led her to the place of an absolute confession when she said, "Mister, I don't have a husband." Jesus gave her credit for one thing, for telling the truth. Why don't we take a lesson from a woman who had 5 husbands and another man, at least to be truthful? She said, "I don't have a husband." She was a woman of ill repute. She was a woman who was despised by the Jews and despised also by her own people, the Samaritans, because of her wretched wreck of a life. But verse 4 said he must needs go through Samaria. He's got to preach a sermon in Samaria. He's got to deal with a woman in Samaria. A woman who's unnamed. A woman of ill repute. A woman that perhaps many of the women of Samaria wouldn't have anything to do with. Doesn't the scripture say when she got converted she went back and said to the men? She didn't say anything to the women. She went back to the men and said, "Come see a man who told me all things ever I did." Here was a woman who needed Jesus. You know what Jesus did when he talked to this woman? Did you follow me when I read over there when his disciples came back? They said, "This is rather unusual. Jesus is talking to a woman." You know, rabbis in Jesus' day didn't talk to women. It was an unheard of thing. Especially a woman of Samaria. A woman who was probably out there at that well at noontime to ply her trade, the oldest known to mankind. But Jesus broke through a national barrier when he spoke to a woman at Samaria. He broke through the tradition of the Jews for a rabbi, a master, a teacher, not to speak to women. And in so doing, he elevated even fallen womanhood. If there's any group in the world tonight that owes a whole lot to Jesus, it's the women. Did you know that before the days of the New Testament era and the days of the coming of Jesus, that women were considered only possessions, like stock, like animals, horses, mules. And we laugh about that, but that's the honest truth. Well, maybe some of them deserved it. I don't know. But here was a woman who needed something. Here was a woman in sin. Here was a woman with whom Jesus had an appointment. She didn't know about it. And she didn't expect to find Jesus of Nazareth at the curb of Jacob's well. But he was there. Jesus shows up in some of the most unsuspected places. God is doing business in a whole lot of places tonight. The third word is the word water. Everybody has to have water. You can go longer without food than you can without water. It is an absolute necessity for life. So much of the body is water. So much of the universe is water. And this woman was coming to draw water that would satisfy her physical thirst. Verse 10 says, Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, if you only knew that salvation, living water, was yours, if you only knew the gift of God and who it is that asked me for a drink, you would have asked me and I would have given you living water. This woman was very anxious now because she said in verse 11, Sir, you don't have anything to draw with. This is Jacob's well. It's deep. Are you greater than Jacob? Behold, a greater than Jacob is here. Behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. How are you going to draw water out of this deep well? And Jesus said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I like that word, springing up. You know what a spring? You've been to springs, haven't you? And you've seen the cool, refreshing water bubble up. When you were a child, perhaps you drank out of a spring. 40, 50 years later, you could go back and that spring is still bubbling up. You know what Jesus gives lasts always. He that drinketh of this water, now that water that woman went to draw represented every human need. Every human need. It was basic to man's need. It is tonight. But the water that Jesus talked about met every spiritual need. Every need that man could have spiritually was wrapped up in that water that Jesus was talking about. On the one hand, the physical, material need. On the other, the spiritual need. You drink this water, you'll come back and draw for more. You drink the water I give you, you will never thirst again. Ah, but she is now even more interested. Sir, she said, please give me that water that I won't have to come back and be embarrassed and draw at this well, that I would never thirst. Well, Jesus went on with his interview with that woman, and he said to her, go call your husband. And she confessed that she had none. And Jesus said, you've told the truth. You've had five husbands, and the man that you now live with is not yours. And she said in verse 19, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And in verse 20 and through verse 24, the fourth word is the word worship. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. What was this mountain? It was Mount Gerizim. It stands over against and opposed to Mount Zion. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, Mount Gerizim. You Jews say that Jerusalem, Mount Zion, is the place to worship. Jesus said, well, you are not fully aware with the worship. You don't realize, I suppose, that God did designate Jerusalem as the place of worship where he put his name and his glory in his temple. But my dear woman, Jesus said, the hour is coming and now is, when neither at this mountain made sentimental by Jacob's well, nor at Mount Zion or Jerusalem where the temple is located, neither in this mountain or at Jerusalem, will men worship. But the hour cometh when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. You know what Jesus was saying? God is not confined to Mount Gerizim, and God is not confined to Mount Zion, but God offers himself to men all over the world, in every climate, in every continent, in every tongue, in every language. God says the same thing to men everywhere. I love you, and I've sent my Son to die for your sake. The hour is coming when everywhere. How can we worship God in Worth Baptist Church tonight? Because of what Jesus said to the woman at Samaria. Oh, you thought Jesus would call all the council together, didn't you? The Sanhedrin and the chief priests and the scribes and all of the religious leaders and say to them, there's coming a change in worship. Oh, no. He just told one woman. But she told a whole city. The fifth word is the word water pot, verse 28. The woman then left her water pot. What did that symbolize? Her material need. What does this mean when she left her water pot? It simply means this, that she was leaving off the material in favor of the spiritual. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. Man shall not live to satisfy the hunger and the drive of the body. Man has got to have something more. Man has got to have something to satisfy his heart. Man is not an earthbound creature. Man is not a time-bound creature. Man is a creature bound for eternity. And he must have something to satisfy that bit of eternity that already abounds in his soul. She left her water pot. She forsook the material. She turned from those things at hand, from those temporal, passing, temporary things, to those things that are eternal. No wonder Paul said, we look not at things which are seen, for these things are temporal. We look at things which are not seen, which are eternal. The sixth word is found in verse 29. Basically, it's the word witness. This woman left her water pot, verse 28 says, and went into the city and said unto the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? I don't see anywhere in this entire context where Jesus said to this woman, now, dear woman, the thing for you to do is to go out on visitation. He didn't say a word about that, did he? Jesus said, now, over at the temple daily and in every house, they're going to have teaching and preaching and personal witnessing. And I believe they've set aside Tuesday night, especially for those that work in the daytime, to go out visiting. And I want you to be there. Oh, no. Jesus didn't say anything to her. But a pretty good evidence that she got something is found in verse 29 when she went to tell somebody else about it. We get a new car, we get a new suit, we get a new home, we get a new addition to the family, and we just can't wait to tell everybody about it. And many people have had Jesus living in their heart dozens of years, and they've never told one soul about it. There's something wrong there, and it's not wrong with Jesus. And a pretty good evidence of your salvation. Now, please don't misunderstand. You know, I never have been misunderstood. And I'm almost 21, and I don't want to be misunderstood this late in life. But please don't misunderstand me, but I will stand squarely and firmly and say that a pretty good evidence of your salvation lies in the fact that you're telling somebody else about Jesus. I didn't say you weren't saved if you weren't, but I said it's a pretty good evidence that you are saved if you are. Telling somebody. I'm not putting out the facts. I'm just drawing conclusions. Now, dear woman, you want to get all lined up in all the services? You know, I think it's a shame for the pastor to have to get up and beg people to go out and visit. I think it is an absolute crime. I really do. There's something wrong. We talk about revival. And I have people coming to me and say, well, why don't we do so-and-so? And I can't get those people to do anything. Why don't we do so-and-so? Well, I say to them, let's do what we're already engaged in first. Then we'll try to do something else. But let's take care of the things that we already do. There's something wrong. But there isn't a willingness and a desire and a drive and a motive for people who know Jesus to go out and tell somebody else. There's something wrong. And it's not wrong with Jesus. He's all right. He's never changed. He's the same tonight as he was on the curb of Jacob's well. The very same. Oh, if we could but see how important it is for us to witness, to tell others what Christ has done. That's all she did. She didn't go out and take the Old Testament and say, well, I want to tell you now about the creation, first off. Then I want to tell you about a system of theology. She didn't know anything about theology. The only thing she knew was that she'd tasted of some water that sure did taste good and it satisfied every spiritual longing that she had, and she couldn't wait to tell somebody else about it. She hadn't been to seminary. She hadn't been to college. She probably hadn't been through the schools of learning in her day. She wasn't anybody important. She didn't know a whole lot, but she did know Jesus. And she went out to tell others about it. Dr. R.L. Scarborough, a great Baptist preacher of yesteryear, in one of his meetings right here in Texas, at the close of a service, said this: I want everybody here tonight to go and stand by the person in this congregation that means the most to you. 18 young women made their way to a pew right over on near the front and stood around and embraced a little old gray-haired woman. And everybody looked and they just couldn't understand it. And when everything settled down, one of them said, may I have a word? I know you're wondering why all 18 of us have come and stood around this woman. And the preacher said, stand by the one who means the most to you. Well, she said, ladies and gentlemen, this woman means the most to us. Because this is the woman that told us about Jesus. This is the woman that told us about Jesus. I'm talking to you about witnessing tonight. And the more you witness, the easier it is. The more strength and grace and courage you have for the second person if you talk to the first. Try it and see tomorrow on the job. Just try it and see. Witnessing. Come and see a man who told me all things that ever I did. The last word is found in verse 34. The word is will. W-I-L-L. The disciples came back and they said, Master, will you please eat? Will you please have something? And Jesus said, oh, I have meat to eat that you don't know about. And they said one to another, do you suppose somebody has brought him some meat? And Jesus said, my meat, my enjoyment, my satisfaction is to do the will of him that sent me. And to finish his work. Finish? You know, there are a lot of starters in the world, but I like to see people that finish, don't you? Ah, you know, people come with a great front to start out, and then they're just like one of these little firecrackers. Did you ever, you know, when you lit the fuse and it failed to go off? Of course, I've had several to go off, and I can show the evidence tonight. But some of them didn't go off, and we'd always take them and just break them in two and spill the powder out a little bit. And strike a match to it, and that thing would just fizz, but it wouldn't last long. Made a lot of noise, but it didn't last long. First thing you know, it was all out. A lot of Christians start out that way, you know. Oh, boy, they're fizzing and burning and sparkling, making a lot of noise. Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. Lights don't make noise. They just shine. Jesus said, I've come to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. In the Garden of Gethsemane, as I said last Sunday or Sunday before last, the will of Christ was crucified. He prayed, not my will, but thine be done. Have you prayed that prayer from a sincere heart? Remember what Jesus said to his disciples. You say that in 4 months the harvest will be here. Look, he said to the, look at the multitudes of the Samaritans dressed in white over there. They're white already to harvest. Go out and pluck some of that harvest. I've come to do the will of him that sent me. Are you fulfilling God's will in your life? There may be a greater place of service for you if you'll serve in the lesser place. Oh, you know, there's some people that they want to be shining brightly if they just had the opportunity to be in the elevated position. God will never trust them with the elevated position until he can trust them with a lowly position. That's one thing that I try to drill into the hearts and minds of the students at the seminary. God will never give them an elevated position to serve unless they're willing to serve in the low place. Doesn't the Bible say, he that exalteth himself shall be abased, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. God doesn't trust us with big things until he can trust us with little things. I have come to do the will of him that sent me. What a lesson in John chapter 4. Witnessing the living water and doing the will of God. These are basics. What about in your life tonight? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, how we do rejoice when we think of the living water. How we do rejoice when we think, when we look out over the congregation. There are people here that we buried in the baptismal waters and had some part in leading them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Oh, how our hearts do rejoice tonight beyond measure, because thou hast considered us when we were inconsiderate. Thou hast loved us when we were unlovable. Thou hast saved us when we were unsavable. Heavenly Father, we pray that thou would speak to this congregation and to this pastor and to this people. And may we know of a surety tonight that we are in thy will, witnessing and telling others about Jesus. Dear God, burn something in our hearts tonight. Give us a spirit that would be kindred to the spirit of the woman at the well, who went out and told a whole city, come and see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Give us that courage for tomorrow, and the next day, and the next, on the job, in the home, on the street, in the classroom, wherever we are. Help us to be faithful witnesses. Help us to tell others about the living water. Help us to do thy blessed will, is our prayer in Jesus' name.